On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, the football team welcomes a new coach, the baseball team gets some swagger back, and it's Dawn Staley's birthday. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 154 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. Hope y'all had a lovely week out there, Gamecock Nation. Hope you are ready for the weekend. It's Cinco de Mayo on a Friday. That's dangerous. That is a dangerously fun combination. There's nothing I like more in this world than sitting outside in the nice weather on some sort of a patio, drinking margaritas, and eating chips. Eating so many chips that you're not even hungry. You're not even hungry whatsoever for your food by the time it comes. That's going to be me on Cinco de Mayo. Going to have to roll my ass home having the Gamecock game on my phone during the whole time. Nevertheless, it's going to be a good time. Going to be a fun weekend here, but you know who had a fun week? Dawn Staley. It's her birthday. As I'm recording this Thursday, it is her birthday. So shout out to the GOAT. I'm not going to sing happy birthday. I'm going to spare y'all me singing. Not that it stopped me before on this show here. But happy birthday to Dawn, a true Gamecock legend, a forever GOAT in our eyes, Mount Rushmore of Gamecock coaches. Yes, this last season might not have ended how we all wanted to, but getting there and getting as far as we did and the status and the pedigree and the benchmark that is South Carolina women's basketball is because of the work and the blueprint and the sweat and everything that Dawn Staley put into this program and to this university. So we are where we are in women's college athletics because of Dawn Staley. So happy birthday to the legend, to many, many more, and to many more as our head women's basketball coach. So let's do a week in review here before I jump into the baseball team here. Not a whole lot was going on during this week. You know, school is wrapping up, as I talked about last episode. So for those of y'all who were listening this time last year, when it was really just baseball going on, it might be time to bring back the Gamecock Fact and Trivia. I got the daily calendar, has a Gamecock Fact and Gamecock Trivia for every day. So I think it might be time to bring that back. And, you know, it's kind of the summer tradition, right? Got slow news day. Let's talk history. Let's talk Gamecock Trivia. I might even post the fact and trivia on social media. I was thinking of taking it to the next level. Maybe that'll be my thing over the summer. I'm like the trivia guy. Who doesn't love trivia? I love trivia. So nevertheless here, there was some news here out of the football program. Now, last episode, this first part of the news was kind of breaking. Nothing was too solid yet, so I didn't bring it up, but now it all is finalized. Defensive line coach Jimmy Lindsay actually left for the job at LSU. So kind of out of nowhere, right? I mean, you heard some of our coaches being rumored for jobs last offseason, this offseason. I never heard Jimmy Lindsay's name come up. But nonetheless, he's gone. See ya. Went to LSU, went to Baton Rouge. And so that left Shane Beamer with an opening on his staff, and his replacement is none other than former USC D lineman and team captain Travion Robertson. Now, Travion played at USC from 2007 to 2011, so if the name sounds familiar, that's why. And he was a big-time player. He was part of some real special moments and some special teams at Carolina, and really kind of saw the buildup to that, right? I mean, he even said in his press conference he was a part of some lean years, but then he was also part of some of the best moments. The Alabama game, you know, winning the SEC in the swamp, SEC East in the swamp. So very, very cool. According to Shane Beamer, Travion was his first and only call for the job opening. You know, he's going to take that same role that Jimmy Lindsay left, which is the interior defensive line. So the edge rushers are going to stay under Sterling Lucas. Shane Beamer wanted to have two coaches take one care, you know, one takes care of the middle, one takes care of the edge. Now, Robertson's name, it honestly has been circling around the program for a while as someone who would be a great fit to come home and be part of this staff. For some background here, he really worked his way up through the ranks, and Shane Beamer talked about that and how he went about his coaching growth the right way, and nothing was handed to him. You know, sometimes in college coaching, sometimes I guess in coaching in general, a guy will go work for a guy that he played for, and he might get that job sooner than he would have had he not played for that person, right? Kind of skips the line. But this was not the case with Travion Robertson. He had coaching stops at Albany State, there we go, Georgia State under Sean Elliott, and most recently at Tulane. So he doesn't have a ton of years under his belt, but at every place he's gone, defenses have improved, particularly the rush defense, which the D-line obviously has a heavy hand in. Not the only group that chips in with rush defense, especially with the system that Carolina plays, but a lot of times those are the first guys you're running into running passes, that interior D-line. And so I think it was a year or two at Albany State, I think it was 2 or 3 years at Georgia State, and just one at Tulane. But again, everywhere he's gone, they've improved. Now, at his press conference, Robertson talked about how, you know, this was his dream job. Said he prayed for this job, prayed for this opportunity, and it was kind of cool. He said that when Beamer called him to offer him the job, he had the NFL draft on, and it felt like he was getting drafted by the NFL all over again. Felt some of those emotions, and, you know, just said when he's with his players, he's always going to be his genuine self, and he wants to build those lifelong bonds with his players, really just in line with that culture that Shane Beamer is building within that building. And then when asked about what type of player he looks for when he's recruiting, said he wants guys that are really dedicated to their craft, want to genuinely get better at football, and guys who practice how they play. Now, he also said that he is excited for the group that he has to work with on the roster, said they're big, heard that they work hard, and they just want to win. And that's all he needs, he said. he can work with that. And, you know, honestly, y'all, no disrespect to Jimmy Lindsay here, but bringing in Travion Robertson feels like a big upgrade. It does. It feels like this is a home run hire. This feels great. Our interior defensive line has been fine under Jimmy Lindsay. You know, I didn't think it was fantastic. I didn't think it was bad. It was fine. But Robertson is going to bring out that toughness, that dog, that mean streak that you need to really compete best on best on a consistent base. And he has a fantastic pedigree behind him. You know, the coaches he played for have been highly regarded, right? And even from a recruiting standpoint, he's very familiar with the area, obviously. But then also, as well as North Carolina, he has deep ties, which that area has always been a priority for USC. So it's a really cool opportunity. And it's really cool having a USC alumni on the staff. You know, obviously we had Eric Kimry. He went on to a different job. Byron went on to a different job. So I like that Shane Beamer made this call, and he's going to take the best guy for the job, which I respect. You know, sometimes at schools you see they just have alum, and they were good players, and they just have alum, and sometimes that might not be the best fit. But I think having one or two guys that are well qualified for the job, but if it's a blind resume and they're pretty similar, and you're telling me one can be a USC alum, I think that's huge. Because that speaks to the culture that guys want to stay around USC. And Beamer is attracting those type of guys. He talked about how excited he is for the future. And then when you're recruiting, you can speak directly to what it's like. Say, you know, I've been a part of these special teams. Here's how the community reacted. Here's how I felt in my years since. Here's what the Gamecock Alumni Network has done for me. And it just instills that sense of pride. So it's very cool to welcome back home someone for this staff. I'm very excited to see what he does on the recruiting trail. And on Saturdays, it's going to be fun to see. He's got a good group to work with. He's got some shoes to fill, right? That whole group does. They got to step up and find who's going to be consistently that top dog, but it's going to be fun to watch. So welcome home, Travion Robertson. Let's go, Cox. I'm so ready for football season. But you know what season I am currently in? We all are in, and that's baseball. And baseball was back in action midweek game, and they got that loving feeling back. I think they got their swagger back a little bit. Back on the midweek grind as the Gamecocks beat Winthrop 6-1. This game was in Rock Hill. Now, it's funny because this was a pretty low-scoring affair for the first six innings. Both teams were tied at one. I think it was through five innings. Both teams were tied. Carolina got the scoring, started early in the second. Winthrop tied it up in the fifth. And, you know, it's okay to admit, y'all, if you were feeling a little uneasy at that point, you know, I might have been felt a little uneasy, like, what's going on here? You know, we're coming off a weird series loss. We're not really dominating the way you had hoped right out the gate. But then once the seventh inning came, it was just this late power surge that put the game away for South Carolina. Jonathan French homered. Will Tippett homered. And Ethan Petrie homered. Of course he did. And then also in the eighth inning for the cherry on top, Dylan Brewer singled in a couple of runs there. Eli Jones was the opener pitcher. He went one inning. Eli Jerzenbeck took the bulk of the innings, pitching three shutout innings. It was really a slew of guys, really, out of the bullpen. But Nick Proctor ended up getting the win. And this pitching staff did exactly what they had to do. You'll remember before this game, I said my crow to the game, one of them, was the pitching staff had to dominate. They had to have a bounce-back performance. I set the bar at like four runs. I said four or less runs, they should feel good about themselves, especially if you get a couple of guys to string together some good innings. They let up one, and Jerzenbeck went three shutout innings. This was just what they needed to do to energize that whole staff. Even if not all of these guys pitch this weekend, it just shows and reinvigorates that group. Like, all right, despite what happened against Auburn, we're still good. We're at the top of the SEC for a reason, and they proved it once again. Some player highlights from this game. Michael Braswell went 2-for-5. Ethan Petrie went 1-for-4 with 2 RBI and is one home run shy of tying the all-SEC freshman record. The kid is just having a fantastic, literally historic year. Jonathan French went 1-for-3 with an RBI, and Will Tippett 1-for-3 with an RBI. The guys, obviously, they scored six runs. It was off of six hits, and I'm going to say that six runs qualifies as mashing it, which was my other crow to the game coming into this one. I said, just mash the ball. It didn't happen early. It didn't happen right away. You know, I mean, Moose did get the scoring early, but once it came in bunches. And I think that that's what these guys needed to get going. They needed to have a big inning right there, and I think it's all good vibes for this team right now. Now, up next for the Gamecocks is a weekend series on the road against Kentucky, a.k.a. Kentucky. Now, the Wildcats are currently 30-13 overall, 11-10 in the SEC. They enter this weekend on a four-game losing streak after what was a pretty successful start to SEC play. It's funny because, you know, if you're looking at 2 weeks ago even, you know, 3 weeks for sure, you're thinking, my gosh, this could be a seriously contested matchup here on the road against Kentucky. No rest for the weary. But they have cooled off a little bit here. They also did not have a midweek game before this series. So let's hope that they suffer the same effects that had for Carolina. Kentucky is a team from what I can tell, is they play small ball, right? They're going to rely on their speed, their running, their defense to win a lot of games. They don't really have a big power threat in their lineup, at least not to the tune of Carolina. But there's a lot of guys who hit for contact. And that might not be the best recipe for South Carolina, honestly, with some of the depth issues we currently have at the moment, especially with guys who play in the field, right? Think of Talmadge LeCroy. So it's really tough. Pitching-wise, they seem fine. Nothing crazy to write home about from my estimation. I mean, obviously, in general, the last few games have gone sideways for this team, having lost a few in the row. The Carolina pitching rotation, it's the usual. Friday night, you got Will Sanders. Saturday afternoon, Jack Mahoney. And Sunday afternoon, Matthew Becker. My crow to the series here is, you know, I'm going to put this once again on the shoulders of Will Sanders and Jack Mahoney. You know, this is going to be a challenging series on the road, and it's one after the team collectively just had a rough go at it last weekend. But these two guys were not at their best last series. So if we're trying to win this series on the road, Carolina needs to be playing from a position of strength, and that just does not happen when your starters struggle. So Will and Jack both need to have very good games, get to the fifth inning, ideally get through the fifth inning, and leave with a chance for the team to win, right? From the first pitch, we need to be dominant. And, you know, at least we don't have a scandal quite like Alabama, right? I mean, I got a minute or two here. What a freaking crazy story. Just going on a side rant here. My goodness. If you haven't seen the drama coming out of the Alabama college baseball program, you might want to check it out. Where there's smoke, there's fire. Something definitely sketchy going on at Tuscaloosa. But I'm glad that's not us. And I'm glad I'm a Gamecock forever. Now, with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.